You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I just wanted to start by praying this morning. I feel like the second I walked in to the building this morning, there's been a real sense of expectancy, a real sense of just that the Spirit of God wants to do something this morning, as he already has been through worship and through notices and everything else. But I just want to pray for that before we start. So, Lord Jesus, I really pray that your Spirit will be here with us. We know that anything that is to happen this morning depends on you. It depends on your presence. It depends on your work in our hearts, Lord. And what's on my heart this morning is just that your Spirit will come and break through and break down strongholds and break through the lies that we've believed and just bring your truth and bring your life. So that is my prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We've started recently talking about the Holy Spirit, which obviously is a very difficult subject to get into a few weeks. And when Tim mentioned that this is what we were going to be speaking about, I was kind of praying over it, and there were lots of different things that you can talk about within this. But what really came into my heart was something that I started kind of praying about and trying to understand and study a bit more about a couple of years back. So that's what I want to talk about this morning, which is the Holy Spirit, but also our spirit, the human spirit. And you might be thinking, well, what's the difference? What's that all about, you know? When we think about ourselves, and this is something that especially these days we hear a lot about, a lot of teaching, a lot of, not just in Christian environments, but anywhere you look, on media, on television, there's a lot of talk about us as human beings and what that means, you know, the kind of mind, body and soul and all of this. And it's quite a big thing at the moment. We've got psychologists talking about it and therapists and all these different people. And I really stopped. I was a few years ago, I was studying counselling, Christian counselling, and we get quite into all of this kind of thing. And it really made me stop and think about how we're made as humans, how God created us. Because there's a lot in science and psychology and all the rest of it, which is absolutely true. But a lot of it, you've kind of got to go, hang on a minute, does this line up with what we believe? Because we believe we have a creator God who made us in his image. So I kind of did this sort of deep dive into all of these things. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about this morning. So we understand that as human beings, we were created, and we hear a lot about this, and we talk about kind of mind, body, and soul, or mind, body, and spirit, and we hear that a lot. And there's so much, we're bombarded with information about our bodies, you know, so it's all about health and fitness and all these vitamins you've got to take and skincare and this and that and all of these things that we're constantly, if you're on social media at all, I'm sure, especially if you're a woman around my age, you'll be bombarded with how much you need to be taking collagen and this and that, and this is the skincare you need. And there's so much we talk about in terms of our physical bodies. And there's a lot that we talk about now about our minds. Yeah, so our mind and our soul is kind of wrapped up in the same thing. When we talk about our soul, it's kind of the essence of who we are, personality, our thoughts, the way we think, what we like, what we don't like. And there's so much now about that as well, about mental well-being, and it's all about, you know, emotional well-being and intelligence and all of these things, mind over matter, self-awareness, all of these things, which are great. They're fantastic, and I think we need all of those things. But there's very little spoken about our spirit. You don't really see any ads for, you know, take this and it'll really vitalize your spirit. So what is our human spirit? And when you look into that biblically, I believe it's more than, you know, when God's spirit visits us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and dwells in us. But actually, biblically, we have, as humans, a spirit. And we don't talk very much about it, probably because it's something that we're a bit kind of, well, what is it, you know? And there is a certain amount of mystery about it. And I don't believe that we're going to unpack it all and go, all right, so we know exactly what this is now. But I do think it's something that we need to pray about and study and try to understand. It's such an essential part of who we are. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through your whole being. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless." Okay, so biblically, we have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. So we're going to unpack that a little bit this morning, understand what is this human spirit. We understand a fair bit about the Holy Spirit, but we're going to go into this. So as Christians, obviously, we talk a lot about the Holy Spirit and what he does and what his role is in our lives. And scripture does suggest that our spirit is more than just the Holy Spirit visiting us and dwelling in us. There is in us as humans, as part of our constitution, in the way that we were created with a physical body, we were created with a mind or a soul or however you want to say it, and we were created with a spirit in the likeness of God. And if we go back then to Genesis, where it all began, it says, Genesis 2, verses 5 to 7, "Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up. For the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground." So I really like to kind of imagine things as I read them. So we've got this wet ground now. The water sprung up and it's wet the earth. And then the Lord God comes and forms a man from the dust of the ground. So this is talking about our physical body, made of dust, made of the earth. It's a very physical, very tactile thing. And God puts his hands on that earth and he forms man, he forms our bodies. But then it says, "And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." So we're so much more than just physical bodies. There is the breath of our Creator that was put into us, and that is what brought us to life. So there's this essence in us, this spirit, which is imparted from the Spirit of God himself. And that is actually what makes us living beings. Otherwise, we are just a body. We're just dust. So as we move on a bit, we see this image of the spirit being breathed in us and this kind of merging of the earthly and the divine. And this is what makes us who we are and the image of the God who created us. So we go on in Job 33:4. It says, "The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life." And that breath in the Hebrew is this word neshama. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it means a strong wind, blast, or inspiration. It's the source of life that vitalizes humanity. If we don't know what this spirit is within us, there's no life, there's no vitality to us. We're bodies, we're minds, we're thoughts. So it's so important that we know how to connect with this spirit, with this life force within us. Just to go on and bring a few more references, biblical references, that talk a bit about this human spirit, okay, just so you know, I'm not making it up. We've got a few things here. So in Isaiah 26:9, it says, "My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you." So we've got this difference in scripture, our soul and our spirit. And that's often interchangeable when we look outside of a Christian context. People kind of say mind, body, and soul or spirit. Well, actually, biblically, we're talking about two different things here. 1 Corinthians 2:11, it says, "For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the spirit of God." So God has his spirit, and we have our spirit, which was received from him and brings us life. 1 Corinthians 14:14-15 says, "For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful." So this difference, spirit and mind. "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding." Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So these are just a few of many scriptures that we can look to. And when I started reading this, I started thinking, hang on a minute, we kind of sweep over these things. And actually, this is really important. It's really important to understand how God made us and how he wants us to live. And when there is a word of scripture that is speaking to our spirit, my spirit will worship you. I need to understand what that means. It's a lot more than positive thinking. It's a lot more than coming in the morning and going, right, I'm going to really try and focus on worship this morning. Because sometimes that's really hard to do. It's saying worship with your spirit. In Romans, this is a text I kind of want to focus on a bit now. Romans 8, verses 12 to 17. It's a text, a passage of scripture that we've heard over and over again. But again, there's something so important in this. And this is what I kind of want to zone in on now. So it says, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. And this is so essential to our faith. Because what it's saying here is that you cannot convince yourself. It doesn't matter how many incredible preachers you listen to or Bible studies you go to or how much, you know, your parents raised you in a Christian home. If your spirit is not testified to by the Spirit of God, it's just going to be head knowledge and it will not sustain your faith. And it's really difficult sometimes. And I find this in my own journey with God. I was brought up in a Christian home, all that. You know, I learned it. I knew all the Bible stories. I could see my parents' faith. But so many times along the road, I've got to a point where I've thought, I don't know. I don't really feel it. Or sometimes I'm quite a rational person. So that's something I struggle with quite often in my faith is it really true, though? Like, is this, why would I believe this? And how are you going to convince me? And I get in my own head about things. And so many times along the way, what has kept me close to God and kept me, you know, feet on the rock is nothing that anyone said to me. It's nothing that I've read. It's nothing that I've heard. It's just, and I don't even know how to describe it, it's this gut knowledge. It's just something within me that knows. I just know. Despite what's happening, despite looking sometimes at my life and going, it doesn't make sense. I've done everything right and this has gone wrong. Logically, there is no sense to it. And quite often you'll see that when we talk about our faith to people who don't believe and they kind of look at you like, what on earth? What are you talking about? Our spirit needs to be convicted by the Spirit of God. And that is what makes us cry out, Abba, Father. And it's not because we've been convinced. It's not head knowledge. Our spirit has been converted by the Spirit of God. And that makes such a difference to everything else. You cannot sustain a life of faith if your spirit has not been converted and convinced and turned to the Spirit of God. And then anytime these doubts come up, I think most of our battles as Christians happen in a day-to-day sense in our minds. It's the thoughts that come in, it's the information, it's the questioning, it's all this which is happening up here. And sometimes we just have to go, right, back down to here, to what I know to be true. And I go back time and time again in my life and in my journey to the words of Simon Peter when he says to Jesus, where will we go? To whom will we go? You have the words of eternal life. There are so many things vying for our attention, but we know when we have been saved, and we're going to talk a bit about this, what happens to our spirit when we're saved, we know, despite everything else, that this is truth, that he is life, that he is real. I think we spend a lot of time sometimes and a lot of kind of struggling and striving, and that's not to say that things will be easy and everything will just fall into place when we become a Christian. We know very well that that's not true. But there's something about every now and then I think we need to stop and go, why am I striving so much? Why is it such a struggle? And I think sometimes when we get to that place, it's because we're trying to fix things up here. Or we're trying to fix things, you know, physically. You know, and all these conflicts that we have in life, and we look at and we kind of go, I need to change this thought pattern. I need to change this behavior. And even with other people, I find it quite often with my children. I need to change this behavior. This is not right. It needs to change. And I'm kind of working on the outside there and getting frustrated and getting tired. And actually, sometimes I just need to go, stop striving, because I'm trying to do it in my own strength. And I just need to pray that their spirit will be penetrated by the Spirit of God. And there's a change that happens there which does not depend on me. And that is true transformation. And that's when you see life flowing and all of those other things will become a lot easier. But we kind of try to work from the outside in and then we're exhausted because it doesn't work and we don't understand why. So moving on a little bit, Job 32:8 says again, but it is the spirit in a person, the breath of the Almighty, that gives them understanding. There are things, especially in faith, that you will not understand logically. Forget it. It's very similar in some ways to teaching a foreign language. So for many years, I taught English as a foreign language. And one of the struggles that adults have that children don't tend to have so much is they need to understand. If I'm telling you that chair is cadeira, a child is going to go, okay, cadeira. An adult is going to go, why? That doesn't make sense. How is it feminine? You can't have a feminine object. No, hang on a minute. I need to understand this or I can't accept that that's what it is. There's this need that we have as we grow up to understand everything. And yes, God gives us minds so that we can use them. And we need to study and seek understanding. But our faith cannot depend on that. Sometimes we need to be childlike and just go, okay, if that's what it is, that's what it is. You know, even if my understanding can't quite keep up. So when the spirit, when our human spirit is kind of penetrated by this truth, when the Spirit of God connects to our spirit and does that convincing work for us, it's so much easier for us to align our bodies and our minds, our behaviors, and all the rest of it. But we need to understand that that's where it starts. And actually, biblically, I think it's back in Thessalonians that we read at the beginning, it says, may your whole, and any time this is mentioned in the Bible, it's in this order, may your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless. The spirit is in first place there. We often talk about body, mind, and soul. Mind, body, and soul, or spirit. But actually, biblically, spirit first. It is our spirit that should be governing our body and our mind and everything else. I'm going to need some volunteers. I promise I won't make you do cartwheels or sing or anything. You're mostly just going to be standing. Can I have 3 people, please? I'll just pick. Classic teacher. Come on, JP. Thank you. You moved then. Was that a volunteering move or was that just please don't look at me? Yeah, come on. Come on, Murray. You looked at me right at the wrong time then. Don't worry. I won't do anything cruel. Okay, you are going to be our spirit. You are going to be our soul. And you're going to be our body. Three, yeah. You can be God then if you're here. You're God. Okay, you're the spirit of God. Oh, you're doing it. Hang on then. Spirit, soul, body. Okay? So what the world is often going to tell us is, right, you want to do this, you need to get ready physically. Okay? So you need to be strong, you need to work out, You need to do what you need to do, look after yourself. And then it might say, right, mind over matter. Okay, so soul, thoughts, you really need to be positive thinking. You know, make sure you know what you want and manifest it to the universe and everything else will line up. And actually, the spirit's over here kind of floundering, going, what am I here for? What do I got to do? Actually, the Bible says the opposite. It says spirit. Align yourself with the spirit of God. Connect with me. And when that happens, what happens naturally is that our soul, our thoughts, our behaviors will line up. Our body will follow suit. When our spirit is turned to the spirit of God and connected and in, you know, like dwelling and inhabiting with him, the other things will naturally line up more easily. Our spirit needs to govern our soul and our body. Otherwise, we're trying to get through life and everything's kind of within us going, I don't know how to do this. I don't know if I should work out more, get up earlier. I don't know if I should study more. I don't know if I should be doing meditation in the morning. And actually, God's saying it's so much simpler. I do the work in you. If you turn to me and depend on me, the rest will follow along. Thank you, volunteers. Aren't they lovely? So we know that every human being is created by God in his image, and we have this spirit within us. So when we think about salvation, what the Bible says is that until we accept Christ into our hearts and into our lives, we are spiritually dead. So we all have this spirit within us, but for many people, that spirit is just kind of dormant. It's not governing. It's just there, and it's waiting to be vitalized again by the breath of God. And when we accept Jesus, that breath once again is breathed into us and connects with our spirit, and his spirit testifies to ours that we are children of God, and life comes through. And that life penetrates our bodies and our minds and the things we do. But that's where it starts. And quite often I feel like when we're praying for people, you know, both for people who are not Christians and people who are, again, we often spend so much time in prayer, praying that they will change the way they think, change their behavior, you know, recognize the error of their ways. Sometimes we just need to be praying for their spirit. And it's something that I rarely prayed until I started to understand this a bit more. And I don't know if you've got people in your life, I know that I do, with whom I've got to the point where I think, I do not know what to pray anymore. I don't know what to say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what this person needs. And that's okay. God knows what that person needs and how to work within them. So sometimes our prayer will literally be, and this is probably the best prayer we can pray, Spirit of God, connect with their spirit. Vitalize their spirit. And if that happens, and that's not on us, if the Spirit of God does that, the rest will start to happen, and we don't need to strive so much. It's not in our power. And Sam talked a bit about this, these barriers that we put up, and we kind of, oh, I don't want to face this because it's going to be exhausting, and I'm going to have to figure out how to do it. We are children of God. We have a Father who wants to show us. If we will just go to him and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know how to change this. I don't know how to pray for this person. And the Spirit of God can do that, which we cannot. In 1 John 4:13, it says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. That's the difference. The Spirit within us has been brought back to life. It's been reconnected with the Father. And that changes the way we live. And that changes the outworking of our faith to others as well. So I really feel like that's the kind of invitation of God this morning. And as I said, since I came in this morning, there's been such this sense on my heart that God wants to break through. There are so many lies that we've taken on and that we've believed and that we've allowed to take root in us. And those lies are not always maybe lie is not the right word, because they're not always obvious. If someone tells you a lie, it's pretty easy to go, I don't think that's true, you know, and recognize it as a lie. But the Bible says that the devil, he comes, the enemy comes, and he deceives. And that word deceit is a bit different to a lie. Deceit is a lie disguised as truth. It's very believable. You know, sometimes when I read all these things about emotional intelligence and mind over matter and all this, you can almost go, it's actually really convincing. But there's something in it that if your spirit is connected to the Spirit of God, you go, hang on, there's something not quite right. But so many times we are deceived. We're deceived by the enemy. And that deceit leads us to try and lean on our own understanding and our own efforts. So I really feel like the Spirit of God this morning wants to kind of uproot and break down these lies and these strongholds and this deceit that we've taken on so that we're free, so that our spirits again can connect with the Spirit of God. And that will just bring such relief. I think there's so much tension in our lives sometimes, so much striving, so much exhaustion, because we're constantly trying to do it in our own efforts, in our own strength. And it's not obvious sometimes. And it also doesn't mean, oh, let's just sit back and let life happen to us. Of course, we're going to try and we're going to seek to be the best that we can and to look after our bodies, which are the temple for this spirit. We're going to look after our minds. We know Paul talks about the importance of transforming our minds, of that metamorphosis. But if it doesn't start within our spirit, the breath of the Almighty in us, it's going to be such hard work. And there's almost something about when you have that conviction in your spirit, you still have to work hard, but there's almost a lightness and a pleasure to the work you've got to do. It's no longer a burden. It's still work, and God created us to work, so that's okay. But it's not a burden. It's not that feeling of an uphill struggle. I'm trying and trying and trying, and I'm not getting anywhere. When that spirit is vitalized within us, we try and we try and we try and we do get somewhere with it. We get closer to God. We work out our salvation in us and in the people around us. So I just wanted to give us some time this morning. What comes to mind is when the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. And here he's not talking again about head knowledge. It's just that feeling when you stop and your whole being knows that he is God. Despite your doubts, despite your lack of faith, despite your difficulties, there's just that peace in knowing that he is God. So I want us to take some time this morning, and I'll be here and there'll be other people here to pray with you if you want to. If you want to pray by yourself, that's fine. If you want to go and sit with someone, that's fine. But I really want us to just pray for the Spirit to connect with our spirit. If there's somebody you need to pray for that you're really, you know, striving for in prayer and you feel like you don't know what to pray anymore, you can't see any hope in the situation, maybe it's time to change the way we pray. So I don't want to keep talking and talking. I think we've covered what we need to cover. But I really want to just give space now for the Spirit to show us, this in practice, you know, and just show us how he wants to connect with us and convince us and convict us and bring us back to that place when we first accepted of Jesus, of just saying, I just know. And my soul and my spirit just cry out, Abba, Father, and all the rest can kind of fade away for a minute. And then when we go back out of this building and back to our normal lives, there's a new strengthening within us. There's a new alignment. This spirit, which is convicted and can then govern our body, our mind, the way we think, the way we react, the way we behave, but with a new lightness. Walking with Jesus, he says, my burden is light. He takes on our burden and we can walk and work with him. I love the translation of that text in the message because it says, learn to live and work with me. There's work to be done, but it's light and we're in good company and we know which way to go. So I really want to invite you. There's going to be no kind of direction as to how this should happen, but I just really want to give space to the Spirit this morning to do what he wants to do.
So I'm going to pray, and then I just invite you, if you want to come forward, or if you want to just raise your hand and someone will pray with you. Again, if you'd rather pray on your own, that's fine. But let's ask him to do what he wants to do this morning. Lord Jesus, we don't want to leave this place this morning before you've done what you want to do in us. And I just pray, Lord, as it says in Romans, that your Holy Spirit will again testify to our spirit that we are your children, that we are made in your image and likeness, that we have been adopted into your family. And that knowledge changes everything. It may not change the situations around us. It may not change the challenges that we need to face, but it changes everything in us and in the way we see these things. We want to look at our lives with faith and with renewed hope and with wisdom and with dependence on you. So anything that's unaligned in our lives, anywhere that we've been depending too much on our thoughts or on our physical strength or on our head knowledge, I pray that we can just let go of all that this morning and just look to you and ask your spirit to come and convince us of your truth and bring new life into our being. In Jesus' name.